Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
The young people used to take bets on wagers on how long it takes me to cry. Well, today it's going to be pretty hard. And you started it, Candace. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Steve and Candace for the opportunity to speak to you today. It's an absolute privilege, and we've been doing life together for a long time, and I just praise God for that. And I have three passions in my life. Family is number one, and mission and next generation are the next two passions of my life. And my subject today is to speak on the power of the generations. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm preaching to the converted here today. I can see that, because this is a wonderful generational church. It is fantastic. Before I do it, though, I want to do two things. I want to honour my wife of 54 years, Pamela. She left her family, friends and everything to come to Australia to marry me, and she didn't see her parents for 7 years, and we used to didn't have FaceTime in those days. You had a little 3-minute phone call that Telstra charged you a fortune for. But I just say, darling, what we talk about today is I'm up here, but we're together in sharing what's happening here today and what God has done. I praise God for that. And I also am honoured to have Pastor Phil here with me. He's been my pastor for 27 years, and I served him for 25 of those 27 years. Let me tell you something about him. In 25 years, I was the administrator part-time of our church, and I was the mission pastor for 8 years as well. And you know what? In that 25 years, he never asked for anything for himself, never pushed for anything. And I felt my job was protecting him and looking after him. And I just praise God for the privilege of being able to do that, Pastor Phil. And I'd like you to, it's a role reversal here today, because normally I'm praying for him as he speaks, but now I'd ask him to pray for me as I speak today. Thanks, Phil.
Father, we're so excited to receive your word from your servant. And we ask that the communication of your word will be full of the Holy Spirit. There'll be words that will drop into every heart that sits in this room today. We'll go away challenged by the word of God, inspired to do what you want us to do, and let your wonderful will be done. Put your hand upon David right now. Hallelujah. And let the anointing of your Amen. Wonderful Holy Spirit Hallelujah. Fill him with power and love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. We know God does things well. And when he created family, he did a brilliant job. He created father and mother, and we celebrate Father's Day today. But he created father and mother with children, grandparents, and great-grandparents. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, we'd be driving along the road sometimes, a few times it's happened, and you'll see an accident. And you think, is somebody hurt there? And Pamela will say, let's pray for those people in that accident. But we drive on. You know, there's a whole family around those people that may have been injured that care for them and look after them. And that's what God has done. He's done a brilliant job in creating family. But, you know, sin messed up the model. And now we have broken homes. And we have abusive parents. And we have divorce. What a rotten thing that is. But you know, that's where the church comes in. Praise God. Spiritual mums and dads. Hallelujah. 20 years ago, God spoke to me and said, I'm calling you to help raise up the next generation. And I said to God, that's fine, Lord, I'm willing, but why would young people want to talk to this old fella? And I had a bit more hair then, but not much more. But you know, when this is a lovely thing I love about God, is all you've got to do is say yes. Hallelujah. When God speaks to you, don't ask why and how and all the stuff, and I'm not able to do it. Just say yes. Hallelujah. And let God do it. And you know, our key young gun in our church, Ash Cooper, he came to me. He said to me, David, can I talk to you? I said, Ash, you can, mate, but I want to talk to you. And we started this amazing journey in the Spirit. Hallelujah, as friends. We've been on 5 countries on mission together, and it's been an absolute wonderful thing. And you know, now I look at it, I'm 80 years old. You know, the great thing about being 80 is that everybody is next generation. So my whole field is now really open right up. I can have a great time, and I'm doing that. I've attended the Newman Church for 70 years. And the reason that I've attended that church is because it is a generational church. Hallelujah. We're a family of generations. You know, in the I said it last time I spoke here, but I say it again. You know, to young marrieds, don't choose a church for yourself. Church is not about you. Hallelujah. Choose a church that your teenage children will want to come to. That's the key thing. And you know, my dad did that. My dad was a Methodist minister, and he retired, came to Melbourne, and he decided that if the kids grew up in the church that we belonged to, which was a very traditional church with not many young people at all, they would lose their faith. So Dad said to Mum, he listened to Pastor Greenman on the radio program, 3XY, and he said, I want to take the kids to Richmond Temple. Well, in those days, the Pentecostals were over here and the traditional church was over here. And so Mum said, I'm not going to that Pentecostal church. They're crazy people, hang from chandeliers and do all sorts of things. And so she wouldn't come for 6 weeks. And my dad would have taken some pain from his friends about that, because Pentecost was a bit of a cult, seen as a cult in those days. But you know what? I believe he said to himself, I want my kids to grow up in a church that is a generational church. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, the median age in Australia, where half the population is under that age and half the population is over that age, is 38 years old. So I want to ask you this morning, how many people are under 38 years old? Can you put your hands up? That's fantastic. Praise God. We're a generational church. Praise God. What does the Bible say about the generations? Joel 2:28. I love it. Afterwards, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Hallelujah. Not just the youngies, not just the oldies. I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. And then your old men, hallelujah, will dream dreams. Hallelujah. Not nightmares. They'll dream dreams. Praise God. And your young men will see visions. We're all involved. You can't say I'm too young or too old to do anything. There's room for us both. So often we segregate the ages. We have meetings for the old people and we have meetings for the young people. And I agree with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, there's a place for being together. Hallelujah. There's a place for one-on-one, having young people talk to older people. I got a great example of it. A few weeks ago, I went to see my football team, and I can proudly say it today because we're in the eight. Footscray, Western Bulldogs, go the Dogs. We went to see them at the MCG play, and normally I want to get down where the action is. I want to get down in the ground level and watch the action and the punch-ups and all that. Not too many punch-ups these days. It's a bit of a pity. But we see it from that level, right? And I knew there's a coffee shop up on about the second or third level. So I said to Pamela at halftime, bless Pamela for coming with me. She sleeps through... No, no, she said no. She's not a real footy fan, but she comes with me. So we went up to about the third and fourth level. And we got up there, and we couldn't find the coffee shop, but we saw the game from a different perspective. Oh, my goodness. Wow. We're up on the nosebleed section, and we saw the game up there. We watched a whole quarter of it. And I just saw the example of the generations. You know, when you're on the ground level, Steve and Candace are on the ground level raising their children, right? And they're in the hurly-burly of it all, and the problems and the snotty noses and all the stuff that goes on with bringing up your kids, right? And here we are up on the top floor looking down. And it was a lot calmer up there, but we're looking down and you see what's happening. And you know, I just saw that is the power of the generations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you put it together, what a wonderful thing it is. Praise God. You know, Pastor Candace had a dream about doing a marriage course. And she called it Forever Marriage. And she said to Pam and I, would you want to be a part of that with Steve and I? And we said, would we want to be a part? We would pay money to do that. And we were just so excited about it. But you see, it was a beautiful thing because here is a young couple doing the generation, and here's an older couple, and we weren't just put together because of the ages. We're together because we're friends, and we did marriage together. Wow, what a wonderful thing it is. And I just praise God for that. And you know, a few weeks ago, we went to Sydney to meet up with some friends, Frankie and Chloe. They used to come to Newman's, and now they're working up in Sydney. And I said, well, we'd love to catch up for a coffee with you. And he said, oh, he said, look, if I get some married couples together, he said, would you and Pamela do a marriage thing? I said, no, we won't do a marriage thing with us two, but we'll do a marriage thing with you and Chloe as well. So the four of us got together, and we got these young marriages, and we can share from the generations. And I just want to say today, there is power in the generations. God created the generations for us to be together, to love each other, to care for each other. Let me talk to the older generation. Oh, I love this. God gives 1 Timothy 1:2. Paul says to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Hallelujah. And you know, it brings tears to my eyes, but I want to say today, Pastor Steve is a true son of one of my sons in the faith. I tell you, that is a wonderful thing to be able to have. You know, church has lots of programs, but let's have more one-on-one connection. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though we might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's highlighted in a Father's Day situation where we don't have that order that God created. I never forget when God spoke to me about helping to raise up the next generation, I just want to have time with young people. And so when I came to get join a Connect group, this is when Pastor Steve was pastor at the city. And he had a Connect group of men. And so I thought, I'm going to join Pastor Steve's Connect group. So I joined his Connect group. And I never forget, it's imprinted in my mind. We went to that meeting and there were 7 young men there. And Steve said, let's go round the room and talk about who has had a good relationship with their father. And you know what? 1 in 7. Isn't that scary? 1 in 7 had a good relationship with their dad. With me, there were 2. And you know what God spoke to me? He said to me, if you stay in your comfortable corner and just retire and go nice and that'll be good, and they stay in their corner, statistics say, I can't believe how it happens, but they say it does. They will just repeat what they've learnt before. So I just say to you today, there's power in the generations. Praise God. The thing I puzzle about, and I've never had a satisfactory answer, is that as older generation, we should be leading the charge. We should be out in front. Because I could tell you story after story after story in business and in life, how I've proved God. God has never let me down. God has done amazing things. When I thought things were impossible, God has showed up. So as an older generation, I believe we should be leading the charge, but we're not. And I ask myself the question, why aren't we leading the charge? And you know, I don't know what we're doing. Are we protecting our reputation? Are we becoming more risk averse? I don't know what we're doing, but I tell you this, I've got the secret. Get with the young people. Hallelujah. Get some young people around you. Glory to God. It'll change your life. It has changed our lives. Praise God. So we've got four keys for the older generation. The first key is vision. Don't let the fire go out. Hallelujah. Moses was 80 years old when he confronted Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." 80 years old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm up for it. I'm glad I don't have to confront Pharaoh, though. Praise God. Smith Wigglesworth was a healing evangelist. He came to Richmond Temple a long time ago. At 54, his wife dies, and he wants to die as well. And God said, "No, I've got more for you to do." And Smith Wigglesworth said, "Well, I want a double portion of your spirit." He said, "I want my wife's spirit portion and I want mine, a double portion." And so he didn't retire. He got stuck into it. And you know what? He raised 14 people. God used him to raise 14 people from the dead. And he died with his boots on when he was 88 years old. Praise God. Glory to God. I just say to you, older generation, don't listen to what the world says. The world says, "Well, you're over it. You're retired. We want other young people to take over." God has a job for you to do. Don't listen to the voice of the world that says it's all over, Red Rover. It's not over. Hallelujah. God's got something for you to do. Hallelujah. God wants to use you. Praise God for that. Oh, God called me to be the mission pastor of this amazing Newman Church when I was 55 years old. God called me and I said to God, "I have nothing to offer you because I'm a businessman." And God said, "Okay, you're willing?" I said, "I'm willing, Lord." He said, "Well, let me show you what I can do with someone that can't get any of the glory because he's got nothing to offer. Let me show you what I can do." And with Pastor Phil in mission for 8 years, what an amazing thing. God did things that you couldn't make happen if you tried. Hallelujah. And I just want to say, don't look and start slowing down. Speed up. Get with some young people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the other thing is, I've heard messages preached on this. And they talk about handing over the baton. And they say, "Well, we've got to hand over the baton to the young people." Well, I heard my friend Pastor Tim Hall speak one day, and he said, "I'm not handing the baton over to anybody." He said, "I'm fine. You've got to fight me for the baton. I want to run with you." Because the problem with that analogy is this, that when you hand over the baton, what does the runner do? Stops. That's the analogy. It's a terrible analogy. I'm not handing over any baton, but I tell you this, I'm going to run with young people. I'm going to come alongside them and have time with them and get the energy and the fire and the steps of faith that these young people have to keep my fire burning. Praise God. I went to a youth alive rally 2 weeks ago, and 5,500 young people. And I listened to the music. Well, listen to the music. I got my earplugs, and I tell you, I stuffed them in my ears. And as the music got louder, I stuffed it even in tighter and I kept pushing it in and I sat there and listened to it. Now, is that my scene? No, it's not my scene. Were they singing any hymns? No, they didn't sing any hymns. And I didn't understand a lot of the words that they sang. But you know what? The preacher got up and he preached. Hallelujah. And 1,100, hear it, 1,100 young people responded to the altar call. Oh, hallelujah. I said to God, that's where I want to be. I want to be part of what you're doing in the world today. And young people love it when they see this old fella come to the Youth Alive rally. Because a lot of the older people say, well, your music's too loud and this and that. No, just put up with it. Suck it up and embrace it. Embrace it. And get with these young people that need you so much. I'll never forget Reggie Dabbs. He's a speaker to young people. And he came to Australia. And in those days, we were supporting Youth Alive in a financial way. And so I got an opportunity to go with Reggie to a secondary school. And in this secondary, and this is not a Christian school. This is a rough secondary school. And Reggie got up and spoke. Man, it was fantastic. And at the end of it, he said, now I'm going to stand at the corner when I finished, he said, and if you want a hug, come up and I'll give you a hug. I sat there and I thought, Reggie, come on, mate. This is not America. This is Australia. We don't do hugs. Not in a secondary school. And you know what? I was in tears. You I can see the line today. This line of people, young people, stand up for a hug. There's power in the generations and they need us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the other thing is, my goodness, look at the time. See it as a two-way street. This is the problem, I think, sometimes. The older generation, they say, well, the youngies are doing it wrong. They're doing this and that. We'll download it. We've got the wisdom. We'll tell them what to do. No. Get with the young people and learn from them. Hallelujah. Get the energy that they have. And it's not only spiritual, it's physical as well. Kate Hatsopoulos, one of the young girls that Pal and I are doing life with for many years, she rang us up one day and she said, David, she said, I'm thinking of going on this Lara Pinta trail. She said, it's a hike. Would you and Pamela be interested in coming on it? And I said, well, what's it involve, Kate? She said, well, it's 15K a day for 6 days. Would you be interested in that? I said, I'd love to do that, Kate. But I said, I don't know about Pamela. And I went to Pamela and I talked to Pamela. She said, I'd love to do it. So we got to train. So we trained. So my daughter was working at Numa as a mission administrator in Ringwood. We lived in Borwon. She'd drive a car to Borwon and we'd hike into Richmond and back and do that. And we spent time, even if we didn't go on the hike, this is a beautiful thing. We had time with our daughter. Hallelujah. We had a beautiful time with our daughter because she had no kids to worry over and all that sort of stuff. We just had a beautiful time. But we did the Larapinta Trail. We'd done the Three Capes Track in Tasmania. Changed our lives in a physical way. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I just say to you, oh, get with the young people. Imagine, I love my older friends. I love them to bits. But imagine us sitting all around in a circle and say, hey, Bill, I got this hike we're going to go on. What do you reckon, Charlie? Well, 15K a day. It's not going to happen. But when you get with young people, they can challenge you to do that. Hallelujah. Third point for the oldies is expect the youngies to go further than you. Hallelujah. You know, when I had young people come to me and say, will you be a mentor to me? I shrunk away from it. I hate that word mentor. I don't want them to be like me. But here's the thing. I got a verse. 1 Samuel 23:15. Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. Hallelujah. So now when a young person says, will you be a mentor to me? I said, yeah, I'll do that. But let me tell you what I mean, but what I understand that to be. And that is, we get together as sinners saved by grace. Hallelujah. I don't even call it wisdom. I call it experience. We look back on things and we point each other to God. Hallelujah. We say, let's go harder. I get with Pastor Steve. So let's go harder, David. Come on, let's do this. I look at this morning and I see what God has done. What a beautiful thing it is. Expect the youngies to go further than you. And the other one, invest time. You know, in my business days, I used to ring up the doctor. if I was going to see the doctor, I'd say, is the doctor running late? Because I haven't got any time to waste. Now I've got time. Praise God. My greatest blessing now is I've got time. Something that I've never had in my life. I have less money today than I've ever had, but I've got time. I say to young people, we want to catch up, I'll come to you. And Pete Hayward was a classic example. This young man who used to did some youth leadership work at Numa East. And I knew about him because my grandkids had told me he was one of their leaders. He was a great young man. I thought I'd love to have a coffee with this young man. And so I didn't want to be pushy. So he came back. He went around the world with his wife backpacking. He came back and he said, I got a phone call one day. I'll never forget the phone call. He said, hey, Pastor Dave, he said, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time, he said. But he said, I haven't been ready. But he said, now, he said, I'm ready. He said, I want to start a business, he said. I want to make it a kingdom business. I want to use it for the kingdom. He said, can I talk to you about that? I said, oh, no, look, Pete, I'm busy. I can't talk to you. No, I didn't say that. I said, Pete, I'd love to talk to you about that because that's who I am. And so, you know, I rode my bike down to, that's another story. I haven't got time. I rode my bike down to Collingwood and we sat in a cafe and we had one coffee. We started at 9 o'clock because what I call early is 7 o'clock. The youngies call it 9 o'clock. We started at 9 o'clock and we were still going at 20 past one because he was sharing, this is my heart. And I'm saying, I can share my experience. Because when I was in my 20s, I was going for business. I wanted to be a pastor. That didn't happen until I was 55. But I wanted to be a pastor. And God took me a business route. And I got into business. I love business. I was working sometimes 22 hours a day in my business. If you said to me, why are you doing it, David? I would say, I'm doing it because I'm doing it for my family. A rotten lie. I was doing it because I love business. And you know, that business started to overtake things. And God arrested us about that and changed us and stopped us from going down a pathway which would have led to damage to our family. And you see, now when I hear young people want to start business, I want to have coffee with them. Because I want to say, if you sacrifice God and family on the altar of business or ministry in the church, no different, you're crazy. And we can bring that together. That's the power of the generations. Oh, I want to say to you today, the power of prayer. You know, so important. My dad, I went with a girl for 2 years and in the church, a lovely girl, still is today. And I just knew my dad was not happy. And I was ready for him when he came to me to talk to me about it. I tell him I wasn't going to change. She was a good girl, et cetera, et cetera. But he knew in the spirit she wasn't the one. We never had any arguments about it. This is the beautiful thing about it. He just prayed. He just prayed. And so when I went to England and met Pamela, we knew within 3 months this is the girl to marry. And so I wrote to my dad and mum. And I said, I met this girl and I'm expecting a letter back because he was a conservative man. Well, now watch these English girls, you know, this, this and this. You know what he did? He didn't even send a photo. We did have photos in those days, but we didn't send a photo. He wrote back and said, she's the one. How did he know? Because he was on his knees in prayer. Hallelujah. So that's what we can do for the next generation. We can pray for them. We can get with them and ask them. When I have my catch-ups with young people, at the end of it, I say, what do you want me to pray about? And they ask me they want to pray for me about. And we share the beautiful prayer time together so we can pray, look after, do life with them. Hallelujah. Pastor Candace said to me one day when we were doing life with Pastor Steve and Candace before it all happened, she said, can you marry people? And by that time I was a pastor. I said, wow, yeah, I think I can. So I said, I'll marry on one condition, that we can speak into your life after you're married. And we've married 6 young couples, and Jazz and Shannon are another couple. What a wonderful thing to do, to be able to speak in the lives of young people. Hallelujah. Say, so don't go down that route. It doesn't work. Don't try that. Watch out for this. And then they can encourage me and push me on. And Pamela and I, together, we can do this beautiful thing together. So for the older people, don't let that vision fail. Hallelujah. Keep the fire burning. Glory to God. And young people, and this applies to us all, there's three keys for it. Number one, have a servant heart. I love this. Luke 22:42. Father, if this is Jesus speaking. Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Hallelujah. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. His servants. So I say to young people, serve the church. Hallelujah. Serve your local pastors. I served my senior pastor, Pastor Phil, for 25 years. What a privilege it was to do that. But you know, there were times when I would say, I want to have a go myself. And then God would deal with me, say, I'm calling you to be a servant. Okay, Lord, I'll be a servant. And off I'd go again. And this kind of, so for 25 years, that was my role, to serve my senior pastor. What an absolute, utter privilege it was. Glory to God. And then God, when he's trained you in that, he releases you. Praise God. And I want to say today, it's a wonderful thing. Elijah served, I get it wrong, probably. No, Elijah served Elisha. Is that right? No, other way around. Okay, swap it around. 14 years together they were. 14 years they served. And then he got his own ministry. He had a double portion of the Spirit. I love my mission work. People say, what is your mission ministry name? I say, I don't have a name. I'm under the covering of my local church. I don't want to put my name out there in lights. I just want to serve the church. Praise God. Next thing is respect and honor your leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard amongst you. And give your spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peaceably with each other. And I say today, Pamela and I can say to you as a church, glory to God, your pastors are the real deal. Hallelujah. They are the real deal. I know I'm off the platform, and you know I'm on the platform, but I know I'm off the platform, and they are the real deal. Support them. Serve them. God will honour you. And when I love coming to the 9 o'clock service this morning, I see this magnificent team of young people ready to serve. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Keep serving God. Praise God. Don't let up on that. Don't let offence get in the way. That's the other thing. Don't take offence. You know, some people leave the church because I'm offended. I'm not recognize I'm not this, I'm not that. Forget it. Just when you feel I want to leave, go and ask God what he wants you to do. And that's what I've had 100 reasons to leave our church in 70 years. My goodness me. But every time I go back to God and say, what do you want me to do? And he says, stay. And I stay. And you know what happens? Then I grow up in a church. Hallelujah. And my kids grow up in a church. Glory to God. And now some of my grandkids are growing up in the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Suck it up. When somebody does something that you don't like, don't worry about it. You're not serving them. You're serving God. Hallelujah. And let God tell you when to leave. Let God tell you when to stop. Praise God. Young people, I say, treasure leadership opportunities. When you get a leadership opportunity, treasure it. Do the best you can in it. Hallelujah. And then the third thing for young people is associate with the right people. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this. Pamela's dad was 94. And when he was saved at 20, in his 20s, he said, I surrounded myself with people that would speak into my life. And you know, that's such a good thing. Get with people that are going somewhere. Don't get with people that are critical. Don't get with people that are negative. Don't get with people that are pulling other people down. Get with people that are going somewhere. Hallelujah. And I just encourage you to do that. Get with people that are the change makers in the church. Hallelujah. Associate with the right people. Glory to God. So, in summary, older generation, keep the vision. Hallelujah. Keep the fire burning. Glory to God. I just believe there's some people here today that have let that fire dim down a bit. And you've had dreams in your heart and they haven't been fulfilled. I tell you what, just hang on. Just keep open to God about it. I wanted to be a minister. In my early 30s, I wanted to be a minister. I said to God, what are these computer programs doing for eternity in my business? But God said, just keep doing what you're doing. And the time will come when I will use you for the kingdom. So I just say, hang on to the dreams that God has put in your heart. See it as a two-way street. Do not download to the young people what they're doing wrong. Just get with them and get the energy and the vitality and the love and the care from these young people. They've got so much. I go and visit every coffee I ever have. I go away with more than I've ever given. I go away with my fire and I tell my old body, just keep going, son. Don't worry about the pain. Just keep doing it, because these young people are out the front saying, come on, David, you can do it. And that's what I want to say. We need to do that. Expect them to go further than you and invest time in these young people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when you invest, you expect returns. We invest time. I tell you what, the returns, unbelievable. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a fire in my heart because of the power of the generations. Hallelujah. Young people, servant heart. Don't ever forget it. Don't say you know everything. Say, I want to learn. Even if you don't agree with stuff, just do it. Do it. Be a servant. Treasure leadership opportunities and get with the right people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God's here today. He's speaking to hearts. I know he is. Just want to encourage you. Oh, don't let the devil rob you of the dream. I say to young people, you know, don't try out the world. I was brought up in a Christian home till I was 17 years old. And I was kept away from the world. I wasn't allowed to do this. I wasn't allowed to do that. My dad said to me when I was 17, okay, he said, I've taught you everything you need to know. He said, you can do what you like. I looked at him, absolute amazement. You know what? I said, I've got to choose now between the God of my mother and father, or I'm going to try out the world. And let me tell you, the world from the distance I was from looked very attractive. But you know, I praise God nearly every day. I chose. I said, God, I've seen enough in my mum and dad. I want to choose you. At 80 years old, I can say to you, I've never once looked and said, gee, I wish I had tried out the world. I got a boring testimony. I listen to testimonies of a young person, of people on drugs and how God delivers them amazingly. I used to think my testimony was so boring, but you know, I praise God today. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.